of what we believe God is doing as we consider where faith comes from. Lord's Day 25. There's four questions and answers here. Question answer 65. You confess that by faith alone you share in Christ and all His blessings. Where does that faith come from? The Holy Spirit produces it in our hearts by the preaching of the Holy Gospel and confirms it through our use of the Holy Sacraments. What are sacraments? Sacraments are holy signs and seals for us to see. They are instituted by God so that by our use of them, He might make us understand more clearly the promise of the gospel and might put His seal on that promise. And this is God's gospel promise, to forgive our sins and give us eternal life by grace alone because of Christ's one sacrifice finished on the cross. Are both the Word and the sacraments then intended to focus our faith on the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross as the only ground of our salvation? Right. In the gospel, the Holy Spirit teaches us, and through the holy sacraments, He assures us that our entire salvation rests on Christ's one sacrifice for us on the cross. How many sacraments did Christ institute in the New Testament? Two, baptism and the Lord's Supper. Let's now ask the Lord's blessing on His Word as we look at it this afternoon. Our Heavenly Father, as we look at what Your Word promises, we're thankful that You have led us and directed us in this way as we consider how faith is accomplished among us through the work of Your Holy Spirit, that we would see where faith comes from and rejoice in Your provision for our salvation through the preaching of the gospel, but also how You confirm and strengthen our faith through the sacraments. Lord, help us to appreciate Your work involved in these activities among us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we listen to this article and consider the teaching of God's Word this afternoon, we need to recognize that the subject of the Lord's Day is a particular, specific faith. It asks this question, where does that faith come from? Now, we can refer to faith in a variety of different ways. It may be a true faith, or a saving faith, or a living faith. All different ways, which we're referring to the same thing, really. True faith is a faith that's created and assured by the Holy Spirit that it is certain, that it's not going to change. It's focused on the work of Jesus Christ and trusts Him in all things. A saving faith is a faith that looks at Jesus and knows that you've been saved. It is a faith that believes in Him, that knows Him, that trusts Him. It's a personal faith, a faith that says, I know this is true of me, that Christ has come into my life, that He now is my Savior. And that's a saving faith. And a living faith is a faith that is engrafted into Christ. It's what we looked at in the last question and answer. It's impossible for those grafted into Christ by true faith not to produce fruits of gratitude. And so a true faith, a saving faith, is also going to be a living faith. There's no questions about that from God's Word. This is what Jesus encourages us to know and understand. But then we're faced with another question. Well, where does that faith, true, saving, living faith, come from? And that's what we're hoping to answer this afternoon as we listen to God's Word as it's summarized for us in the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 25. First of all, we recognize that faith is a gift of God. That faith that saves, that faith that lives, the faith that is true is a gift from God. Secondly, we're going to consider there's instruments that God uses to bring that faith, to secure that faith, to secure that faith in our lives. And thirdly, we're going to see that God's design in the preaching and the sacraments is always to focus our faith, not upon our faith, but upon our Savior. But first of all, let's consider that faith is a gift of God. It's a result, the true and the saving and living faith is particularly a gift of God. And this is important for us to recognize because I think this past week has shown us that people have a sense, there's a sense in which everyone believes in something. This is the way God has created us. He's created us with a soul. He's fashioned us in such a way that we crave believing in something. We long to believe in something that is bigger, better than ourselves. But we need to be careful here because the faith that we're considering and we're looking at this afternoon is a faith that is a gift of God sort of faith, a specific kind of faith, a faith that is not natural to man. It's not just some deep-seated awareness of a being that's larger than we are. It's not a natural faith. In fact, it's a supernatural. That faith that this question and answer are getting at, question and answer 65, is a supernatural sort of thing. It's a gift that comes through the work of the Holy Spirit. It's something that only the Spirit can produce. The Holy Spirit is working. He's active. He's the one who accomplishes this. And that's the very important beginning of this question. The Holy Spirit produces this faith. We don't have it naturally. We need it as a gift of God. And yet without it, we're lost. Jesus reminds us of this when he's speaking with Nicodemus in John 3, that without being born again, that is, without being born by the Holy Spirit, without the work of regeneration, we can't see the kingdom of God. We're outsiders, we're alienated, we're estranged, we don't know God, we don't have a true faith. Or Paul in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14, a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. A natural man, they're just too far away from him. He does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness to him. And he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually appraised. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 3. Without the Spirit, no one can say, Jesus is Lord. You see, we depend upon this gift. We depend upon the Spirit to secure this gift in our hearts. And the danger has always existed. And I think it's still there today, and maybe we struggle with it, that we suppose that faith is there somewhere banging around in our hearts, and it's so naturally there, it just needs the Spirit just a little bit to kind of kickstart it, to get it going. It's like a redwood tree in the States, and they have them here in New Zealand as well, but particularly in Yosemite National Park, they have these magnificent redwood trees that grow so big that you can drive a car through them. And the concern is that they preserve these trees, and so every year they were going around and gathering up all the brush around them so that there wouldn't be any chance of forest fire or anything like that. But there were no young saplings that were uprooting and getting started. So finally, they started leaving all the brush and the scrap laying around, and then sure enough, there was a fire. And with this fire, it wiped out all the brush that was laying around. But following that, they recognized, all of a sudden, new redwood trees started to spring up. The cones that fall from these trees needed the intense heat of a bushfire to release the seeds so that more can grow. And sometimes that's how we think about faith. Oh, it's just naturally there, and just given the right circumstance, all it takes is a bit of a spark and it will get the flame going. That's not the case. Faith isn't there somewhere lying dormant, just waiting to be awakened. No, it's a gift. It's a gift. It's something we don't have. It's something we can't secure. It's a gift produced by the Holy Spirit. It's not something that can be received from our parents. As important as the covenant promises are and as significant as they are, no parent can secure the faith of their child. It's not a result of education. It's not developed through education, no matter how intense our education program may be as it presents to the children or even to us as adults, the truth of God's Word and the certainty of His accomplishments and the way that He's working. There's no amount of education that can flick the switch on and make us understand and see, oh, this is how God works. Now, we need all these things. We need the covenant promises. We need to be teaching our children. We need the education. That's all there. But we must recognize faith comes from the Holy Spirit. Where does that faith come from? It comes from the production of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit produces it in our hearts. But then there's another very important word that unfolds the teaching of Scripture. And the Holy Spirit produces it in our hearts by the preaching of the gospel and confirms it through our use of the sacraments. And that, secondly, is the instruments that God is using. What we refer to sometimes as the means of grace or the instruments of grace. Means simply is that instrumentality, that there's God in His sovereignty as He's working from on high, as He's working with sinners who aren't naturally inclined to Him. He employs a couple of tools to accomplish His purpose. And one of the primary tools that the Holy Spirit uses is the preaching of the gospel to produce faith. And He uses the sacraments to strengthen faith or to confirm faith, to make that faith sure, to remind us again of the certainty of the gospel. And here the Catechism counters another error. An error that exists regarding the sacraments and regarding the preaching of the gospel. And it's the error to suppose that they just work by themselves. We're familiar with this. I think that's the uncomfortableness that we have with 1 Peter 3 when in verse 22 it says, baptism saves you. Now from a Roman Catholic perspective, that's completely understandable because they believe that the sacrament of baptism is something that gives new life. They believe that the sacrament of the Mass is something that imparts Jesus Christ to the participant. They believe that sacrament is the instrument by which we can receive the grace of God. And the Heidelberg Catechism is countering that and saying, oh wait, no, it's not the power to accomplish this is not in the sacrament. As important as these instruments are, it's not in the sacrament. It comes through the work of the Holy Spirit. But here, we as Reformed Christians, we also need to guard against an error that creeps into our thinking, our way of understanding, and that regards the preaching. Because sometimes it's a thought that as long as the gospel is preached every Sunday, we can assume that there is faith among the hearers. Now, this isn't to undermine faithful preaching. Faithful gospel preaching, to be sure, is a mark of the true church. It's one of the ways we understand what the true church is. But as much as we appreciate that, as we recognize that in the Belgic Confession, that the mark of the church is the administration of the sacraments, it's the administration of discipline, and also the preaching of the gospel, as much as we have those, we need to understand that there's also a mark of a Christian. The mark of a Christian who sits under the preaching of the gospel and who partakes of the sacraments is one who believes in Christ only as his Savior. The mark of a Christian is someone who flees from sin and pursues righteousness. The mark of a Christian is someone who loves the true God and loves his neighbor. And so we need to be careful. Jesus warned. Jesus warned it can happen with preaching. He warns us with regard to his parables. You will keep on hearing, but you won't understand. You will keep on seeing, but you will not perceive. Because he says the heart of this people has become dull. We have to be careful here. Preaching is a necessary instrument. The Bible talks about preaching as something that's very powerful. The preaching of the gospel is tremendously powerful. But it's not that in and of itself. It requires the work of the Holy Spirit. Think about this. If your car is broken down, you tow it into the shop, and there the person running the shop, they can have the most powerful, most astounding tools in the toolbox. But if they just set those tools on the engine, it won't repair the car. It takes someone using those tools to accomplish the repair and the restoration of a broken car. The same is true with your soul. The same is true of your faith. It takes the Holy Spirit, and he uses the instruments, he uses the preaching of the gospel, and he uses the sacraments as his instruments, as his tools to produce and strengthen, to take your broken, sin-infested heart and to bring you to Jesus Christ. God's Word calls us to trust the Holy Spirit, who uses these powerful and necessary tools to give and strengthen faith. But then thirdly, there's the focus of God. Preaching and the sacraments are God's way, not our way. It's not something that men have invented. It's not a tradition that we have inherited. It's not a perspective that we appreciate, though it should be that. It is God's way of calling us to his Son. And here, as we sit under the preaching of the Word, as we participate in the sacraments, we will begin to perceive the glory of Christ. Because he's calling us. That glorious gift of faith that God has promised to provide, promised to accomplish through the operation of the Holy Spirit, he promises comes through the work of Jesus Christ. So that Paul can say later in Ephesians 2, we didn't read it, but in Ephesians 2, verse 17, it says, if Christ were there, it says, he came and preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who are near, that there's a presence of Christ. That's what Paul is getting at, that faith. How is anyone going to call on the name of the Lord and be saved? Well, they will call when they hear and when they believe, and they will believe when they hear, and they will hear with someone preaching, and they will preach when they're sent. That's what makes the feet of gospel preachers so beautiful. Because it's the messenger of God coming to us from week to week, summoning us through God to faith in Jesus Christ. And we're called to embrace him in faith. To rely on him in faith. The Holy Spirit teaches and the sacraments assure us that our entire salvation, every aspect of our relationship with God rests on Christ alone, on his one sacrifice for us on the cross. You see, here in worship, heaven and earth are meeting together. As the Holy Spirit uses the preaching of the Word and the sacraments to bring faith, to produce faith, and to strengthen it. And as we conclude this afternoon, the concern is not only where does faith come from, But where is your faith going? What are you going to cling to, focus on in faith? Here we are in God's workshop. And our call to worship has reminded us of the wonder of what God promises here in the work of the Holy Spirit. Everyone who is thirsty, come to the waters. He who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good. And delight yourself in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live. It's as we sung, speak, O Lord, as we come to you to receive the food of your holy word in our lives as we're broken by sin. We come here into God's workshop so that we would be His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. It starts here, but it doesn't stop. It goes with you into the week to rely on Christ in faith, to have a life revolving around Him with faith, so that your heart wouldn't be distracted from Him, but you would continue to cling to Him. As you realize that everything lost and broken by the first Adam is recovered by the second. And we know Him, and we believe Him, and we hear Him, and we see Him, that our entire salvation rests on Christ. That's where faith comes from. And that's where it goes. It comes from the Spirit working and drawing us to Christ, and it goes showing Him and reflecting on Him. Like Moses descending from the mountain, like the disciples on the Mount of Transfiguration, it's to come to the feet of Jesus and say, it's so good for us to be here. But Jesus says, now go and show that to the world. That's our privilege. That's our calling from Him. Amen. Let's bow together in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, as we consider the activity that we're engaged in, it's so familiar, sometimes we forget what you've promised to accomplish through it. We know that there are supernatural things taking place here with the preaching of the gospel, that your Spirit is active, producing faith. That with the sacraments, your Spirit is active, confirming faith and strengthening faith. We're so grateful. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for this privilege, for recognizing what your word teaches. You give this gift to those who don't naturally have it, but you give it so that we may see it more and more. And as we do so, you provide for us more and more, and you sustain us more and more. Lord, we pray that you would continue to help us to trust what you are doing, to know what you are doing, but also to trust it. And as we look at the sacraments through the coming weeks, we pray, Heavenly Father, that we would see the tremendous blessing you bestow upon us in these sacraments as you strengthen our weak faith. We're thankful that we can come to you. We can acknowledge our weakness and our need of your work. And as we do so, you provide us what we stand in need of. Here we can come without money, and we can buy and eat and have our souls satisfied with the richest of fare. Thank you for this provision for our life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So respond to